Fair warning, you're probably gonna feel a little braver by the end of this episode. Hey there, and welcome to Love People and Make Money. My name is Kelly McCauzy. I am your host. This is episode number 22, and my guest is Jenna Rodriguez. So I want to out myself on something before we get into the conversation with Jenna. And that is that sometimes I judge people. All right. So that's not anything you don't already know. But I want to mention it because before I met Jenna in person, I looked at her online and I just thought, oh, she's so perfect. She's so glamorous. She's so all put together. We are probably not going to have anything in common. And I went to her event in Destin, Florida a few years ago. And, you know, it was a wonderful event, but it was very glamorous. It was really well put together. And again, I thought, oh, we just don't have anything in common because I'm such a fly by the seat of my pants kind of gal. So I had made up in my mind that we're just really different people. Well, turns out that that's just utter bunk because we got to spend a lot of quality time together over the last year or so. I joined Michelle Meir, formerly Michelle Sism. I joined her Millionaire Minds program the year before last, and Jenna is a longtime part of that. So we participated in 3 in-person retreats together where we were roomies and we spent lots of time together. And really, from the first day of hanging out, all my preconceived notions about her fell completely away. And I realized how foolish it is to think you know something about somebody because of what you see of them online. Yes, she is gorgeous. She is glamorous. She is well put together. That is her style to present a very excellent presentation. And guess what? We have tons in common. And she's not at all as stuffy or cool towards others as I was making up in my mind that she would probably be like. So I out myself like this on the podcast fairly often. I like to just let you guys see, lest you think for a minute that I have it all put together or know what I'm doing all the time. I don't. And I want to share it as an invitation to you to consider who out there in your space are you thinking we could never be friends? We have nothing in common. And you're making that judgment call based on something superficial that you're observing. Shake it off because it's probably not even real. It definitely wasn't where I was concerned. I've learned a whole lot about how somebody looks from a distance has almost nothing to do with what you're going to experience of them when you get up close. So let's jump in. It's such a great conversation. Hey everybody, welcome back. I'm joined now by my guest, my friend Jenna Rodriguez from Brave Masters. Hi, Jenna.
Hello. So excited to be here with you.
I'm excited to chat with you today.
Yes.
So I was telling my listeners that I've gotten to know you over the last couple of years since I went to your event in Destin. We yes. were in a mastermind together for a year. You came and spoke at my Exposure and Profit event. And you're such a cool person.
Oh, you too, girl. Thank you for that. Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long. I feel like I've known you much longer. And we've just done some really cool, fun things together. So, yeah, I love it. You're so, a cool person too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're getting ready to change up your life in a huge way.
Yes. So
you've been living in Houston, Texas for quite a while, and you're just like up, selling the house, picking up the family, and going out west.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why would I do that? You know, LA, California is where we're headed, right? And it's interesting. So, you know, I'm from Houston originally, born, and then, but I moved away in pretty much like junior high school. I ended up in Ohio, which is closer to you. And and then I couldn't stand winter. So, and I, God love you for all the snowbirds, but you know, like I just really wanted to come back. So I came back to Houston 20 years ago, and thank goodness I did, because of course I met my husband and we've been together 18 years, and he's a musician, and we've had, you know, a gorgeous child, a teenager now, and we have an older daughter, stepchild, and she's in San Francisco. So my reasons are going to start adding up here. But the gist of it is at Christmas time, like just a few months ago, we were kind of exploring this conversation, like, well, what would we do? You know, like if we could do anything, and like, what do we want next? And, you know, we're not getting any younger. we're moving into our next chapters here. And one of the things I have said I am is that I live by the ocean, and Galveston doesn't count. Sorry, but Galveston, it's water. Yes. And I have definitely spent time on that coast of Gulf of Mexico. But it's just quite different. And over the last 4 or 5 years, I've actually lived in Destin, Florida, which you and I are familiar with. And it's gorgeous, right? Gorgeous, gorgeous water and white sands and all this. So at first I thought I was moving that way. But when you start to really look at what are the things that you want? What are the things that excite you? What are the things that you want to build and create? And when we looked at it as a family, my husband's a musician and he has amazing contacts and amazing opportunities out there, out in California. Then we looked at, he has family there that we haven't spent a whole lot of time with. We have our oldest child who's in San Francisco. We love the fact that there's ocean and mountains and you can do so much nature and hiking and getting out and about, you know, like that just excites us. And even my business, the best thing I ever did was build it to be, location freedom, right? So I can do it anywhere. Give me a laptop and I can go. Right. And yet even at the same time, there are opportunities out in California that I started noticing, events I want to attend to, web TV shows that have studios out there that I want to be a part of. Like, I just really started to look at, oh, wow, there's some more fresh opportunities out there for me as well. And so all this started percolating, and I wrote down, I started meditating in December, like serious meditation every day. And one of the things that popped in, into my journal, kind of got downloaded in January, is what if we moved to California? That was the question. And it was just this like idea and pondering and like, well, what would that be like? And then I kept exploring it. Then I talked to Alex about it. Then I talked to my daughter about it. Well, she's always wanted to move to California. And so all these things started coming together. And so what's interesting about this, whether you have an inspirational thought about a business or, you know, moving or, you know, calling someone because you think, you know, you think of them, like these impulses that we get, I think is one of the magical things about life is if you actually follow it and not just let your fear jump in and take over and shut you down, amazing things can start to unfold. And so that was the experience. You know, it's like I had this idea. I started to seriously look at it. We talked about it as a family. And then we all separately wrote down pro lists and then a con list, right? Pros and cons. And our pros matched, and there was two cons. I mean, it was like, you know, and I asked Alex, I said, you know, he's 51 and, you know, I'm in my 40s and, you know, our daughter's getting going into high school. And it's like, look, we're not getting any younger. If we want something, we got to like, let's do it. You know, like why would we stay? And that's the other question I think people need to ask themselves about any of their ideas is why not? Right? Like what's holding, you know, what's really the reason that you would stay per se or not do it? And so we seriously did a lot of work internally and mentally and, you know, spiritually, everything to look at this idea. And then like in February, we had a family meeting and I got my whiteboard out and we wrote down the pros, we wrote down the fears. And I think as a Brave Master, which is, you know, the name of my company, right, is the bravest thing you can do is face yourself and face the fears that are popping up and understand and discern them from the inspiration that you have. And so when I was inspired by this idea, there were a lot of good things. And that's what we're seeing is that this is a new start. This is new opportunities. This is, you know, it definitely is a career jump for my husband. I mean, all of these things started to come to fruition. And then we had to acknowledge the fears because within weeks, you know, we were roller coastering, we were up and down and like dealing with the fears one day and like freaking out and like, oh, and then I was dealing with overwhelm because I'm like, oh my God, look at all the things we have to do in order to actually move. Right. We've lived here 20 years, lived in this house for 13. We have to sell the house. We have to purge. We have to sell everything in our house, like all these things, right. The to-do list. And I did, I felt a big sense of overwhelm at one moment. And, I'm like, just break it down, just break it down. Don't try to eat the whole elephant. Right. And it's an analogy as well as my reality, but it's an analogy for Brave. It's the analogy for anything that you want to say yes to. And you have to work through and overcome and conquer the fears, the doubts, the negative people, you know, people like not agreeing with you, like, oh, that's a bad idea. Why would you do that? You know? And we've had a few of those, not anything major, but, because they're worried, right? They have their own fears, yeah, or their own concerns or their own investments emotionally in our relationships together, whatever. And so we had to come together as number one, a family and a unit and make a decision together. And this was our decision, right? It's not about anyone else and it's not hurting anyone else. And stay solid in our vision. And so it's huge. It's amazing. And we're excited. And it's also tested my patience because now we're so ready. It's kind of like, okay, why is the house not selling? we've had to face like, hey, wait a minute, you know, the vision's still clear. But sometimes things happen in God's time. Right. And so we're patient. We've created it. We're on our way. We're in motion about all of it. And I think the message inside of this that I'd like to anchor is you make decisions. Decisions are actually easy. Like yes or no, go stay left, right, you know, right. So the decision can be easy, but it's the immediate fears that pop up that gets in our way, that gets challenging, right? And so I always say to get your brave on, it's like make a decision, commit, and keep committing. You have to keep committing every day to the decision, original decision, and then take inspired action. And so that's what I'm on. That's the journey I'm on is, you know, because at any given moment, we could totally quit. We could be like, that's too hard. It's too much. Let's just stay here. That's too scary. It's too expensive. It's too much traffic. It's all these, you know, like all these things that we could make excuses and reasons about. And we're not. We're breathing into the excitement. We're trusting our gut because our gut is the one that said, hey, I think you need to do this, you know, and following that impulse, following that inspired action. And if we really thought we couldn't make it or make it work or something like that, or something really was, you know, in the way of it, yeah, we would consider that, right? But there really isn't. It's number one, it's just moving across the country. Like kind of like what's the worst that could happen? You know, you move back or you move somewhere else. I mean, like what else? what else is possible? But it's just a huge testament to being brave and staying the course and committing. And whether, you know, and my business is another example of that, right? And I help entrepreneurs every day face themselves and get their brave on and speak up and, you know, grow and move into their uncomfortable zone, right? And so those are those, that's what we're up to. Yeah. It's amazing. I'm so excited. And hopefully our next conversation will be out there.
Well, I want to peel a couple things off of that because you mentioned the fears that rose up after the decision and the fears ego would just really like to delay.
Yes.
This new thing, cause it's so scary.
Yeah,
just didn't play into that angle.
Yeah, we intentionally and we had a conversation about it as a family. It's like, look, fears are going to pop up. Things are going to be said that's going to rock our boat, you know, and our commitment and our decision and our commitment to that decision. And so we have the process was to acknowledge them, like look them in the face, right? Look the fears in the face and go, you're not real. You're just trying to throw me off my game, you know, and also, you know, maybe look at the validity of it. Like, is there something there I need to deal with? Is there something that I need to let go of or what have you? And yeah, it's, and I think that happens on a daily basis with so many things that we make decisions about or don't make decisions about because the fear is too strong, but we're not acknowledging the distinction or the discernment between, hey, I have this amazing idea. My, you know, our brain, our chatter, right? And then over here, I have these fears like screaming at me. And so if we can take the ego and go, who's talking, the ego or the inspired voice, right? I always call it like the inspired voice versus the shallow voice. Mm-hmm. The shallow voice is pretty darn loud. So yeah, for sure.
Can I love to fly by the seat of my pants with these conversations
because
something in this grabbed me. I'm single. So when I get an idea, when I get a wild hair and decide, you know, many years ago, up and sell my house and move. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought I was crazy, but I didn't have to come to an agreement with anyone else. As an entrepreneur and being a married couple, being a married woman, how awesome that you guys all had the same vision.
Right.
But how do you manage it when you don't?
Yeah. Great question.
Been times over the years that you've been growing your business and making decisions that your wild hair isn't a hell yes from the hubby.
Yeah, hell yes, for sure. You know, the one that stands out the most is in 2012 when he and I had partnered for about 5 years in building a web and graphic design agency, right? And but I, at the beginning of 2012, if I look back, I was hearing the inspiration, but ignoring it. Hesitation, procrastination, avoid. And that inspiration was, I think I need to go on my own and like start coaching and strategizing and playing bigger and starting to speak, which I was scared to death of, and like get out and play bigger, right? And I don't really want to do this agency thing anymore. Like that was my personal conversation. And it took me a year to get honest about it because I was scared of the impact. You know, him and I working together, our identities somewhat were tied together, right? We had this company together and like, what are we going to do separate, you know? And the advice here is don't take a year, first of all. So I've gotten better at that. But that was a big deal because it shifted the dynamic. It shifted what, you know, our livelihood, you know, arrangement and agreements that we had, all of that. If I take over the company, it's kind of like, okay, what do you do, Alex, right? And he really wanted to go back to music, but I think he was also struggling with the fear of going back to music full time. It really, we just had a whole lot of fears, but we weren't clearly communicating them. So we, honestly, it was a very hard year. It actually was the brink of divorce at one point. It was, we weren't opening up about our, just kind of our honest truth and being willing to let, you know, let the kind of dominoes roll out because, you know, between in the relationship. And so we, I kept it quiet per se. And then I would get triggered. I would get in reaction instead of like communication. So I'm not saying I haven't been in a place where I take personal responsibility for that. I could have done it differently. And so I do believe that there's times where our ego is so strong and it's kind of like, I heard that you had this great idea, but it's going to just impact a whole lot of things. It's going to impact my husband or my family or what have you. But I also could feel that it also could be a good thing, right? I was like, you know, this could be a good thing for our family, but I, you know, of course I had to trust myself, let alone, you know, kind of get them to trust me that this was a good decision. So the bottom line is in a year later or the end of of 2012, I actually made the communication and it was one of the hardest communications I have ever had. And it did not go over real well, honestly. We didn't have a nice conversation. It was not pretty, but it was necessary. I was at my limit. I waited so long that I started to get to my limit, right? Of like, something's got to change and I'm going to have to pull the trigger. And so I don't recommend doing that. I recommend being more self-aware and being more in communication and being like really honest with ourselves. Right. But I had to go through that. I had to learn it. And I did break the partnership. I said, listen, I'm going to take over the business January 1st, 2013 full time because I want to change things up. I want to be, you know, kind of step into the bigger player that I want to play. And, you know, and I don't want to do all the website stuff anymore. And honestly, you want to go back to music, but he had to come to terms with that too. So it was just an interesting play, right? But it actually worked. And here I am.
Yeah.
And we're still together. We made it through. It was hard. We both had a lot of reactions and upsets and things like that. But it was almost like we were fighting more ourselves. And then, of course, it impacts our relationship more than anything. And once I made that decision, though, when I look back and I'm like, that was a brave decision, another one. I had a 65% increase in income that year, and I was doing it on my own. And so, you know, we just took the business and rebranded it. So I kept the business entity going, but I'm like, I increased it on my own over six figures for the first time. Like, I mean, a lot happened. I started speaking in public, which was like, holy cow, who am I to do this? Right. And I conquered that fear. Like, it literally put a fire under me, of course, because now I'm 100% responsible for this thing. And it ultimately worked. I think I did know, like, there was a knowingness that I was going to be okay, but I was scared, definitely, but I still did it anyway. And then here we are. Now I'm like in my second iteration of my rebrand and just doing bigger and better things. But yeah, I agree with you. And hopefully that's answered your question. I do think that there's ways I would have done it differently. It may have still rocked the boat. Like, that's another fear, right? We're fearful to rock the boat, yet it's our truth. And I think the more we stand in our truth, the more it actually becomes okay. And people can respond to the truth better than, you know, the fears and the reactions and the hesitations and the procrastination. And so I think we just have to get honest. And I think it's a lot of self-work to first identify in ourselves, hey, this is a really big idea, you know, that I really want to explore. And I want to start a business or I want to start traveling. That was one. I had to start like a year after I'd made that big move with the business. I said, hey, I really want to start traveling and speaking in other cities and stuff. And how, you know, can we do this? Cause we have a child to take care of. And it was not embraced 100%, but I did it anyway. And then it became like, okay, it was not a big deal. Right. We still made it through those times. So, you know, you got to be stronger than the fears. You got to be stronger than, you know, relationships take a lot of work, for sure. And there is compromise and there is things, you know, I wasn't not thinking of my family. I really was like, hey, I know this could help our family and I'm going to put myself out on the ledge. But when I make those brave moves, they've always paid off, you know, and my family then can almost like, they start to trust like, okay. And if it fails, it fails. I mean, you know, I don't know if you mentioned this in the bio or not, but it's like, I've also been bankrupt. He trusted me to buy a business. And then a year later we're bankrupt. It's like, so, but he was, you know, it's like, he's really overall always been supportive and at times, you know, and vice versa. And at times, you know, we are also human and our ego gets in the way of just being real and being honest. And we sometimes let our fears, you know, be the voice instead of, you know, our inspired self. So I think it's not easy always, yet I think it's the best practice is, and it's practice, that is absolutely the key word here, is to get clear with what your truth is. So if you want to start a business or you want to change up the business or you want to change location or you want to like you get, yes, if you have family, then you will have to have a conversation, right? I'm not single.
Yeah.
and you know, and it's just the way it is, but, that's a great question. And I think a lot of people struggle and I think they probably shut themselves down way faster than they should.
Yeah. You know,
right? They just go straight into, I can't do that, right?
That's exactly what I think people, yeah. Like, I imagine there are people listening to this who have all had that dream of doing a big shakeup, but they, yeah. Before they've even opened their mouth to another person, they it's have gone. Already predicted he won't like it, she'll be upset, it'll create a hassle, and yep. They shut themselves down.
That's right. And I sure did. I mean, I definitely procrastinated for a long time because I was so afraid of all those things. And those are the assumptions we make and, you know, and which is just not factual. Right. And even if they do get upset, it's like, so, you know, you can get through that too. And I think we just make up so much, you know, fiction about stuff before we're willing to just actually be truthful,
yeah,
with ourselves and with others. And, It's the brave way. It's totally the brave way, but it pays off. So
you talked about, one of the things that changed for you is that you started to speak, you started to show up and get on stage at events. And this is something that you now help other people do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So listeners who are thinking, you know, man, I want to do that. I want to be invited to speak at events. I want to volunteer to speak at events. Where should they get started?
Yeah. So first decision, right, is I want to be a speaker or I want to speak up. You know, maybe you've done a little in your past, maybe you've done a little public speaking in some way, but it's like, I really want to impact more people. I want to get on a stage and be able to market my business and in a leveraged manner, right? So the first get started is you got to declare it. I always start with that. I always say that because that's exactly what I did. And in that hard year, that 2012, that was one of the things I said to myself. I said, I am a speaker. And so I declared it and then I started sharing it out loud. I started when I would go to a network meeting, which was my main form of marketing back then. I was like, at the time I was a brand strategist, specifically. And I would add, I'm also a speaker, right? I would say it. I hadn't even spoken anywhere, but I'm like, I'm a speaker. And so that's the first thing is you've got to make the decision, set aside the fears and say so, and say it out loud, change your profile, say that you are one. And then of course what I did last year is I actually saw that this was one of the hardest things for people to figure out because there were so many not only just declaring it so, or if they're speaking, they're not, it's not working for them, you know, so they're getting frustrated and it's not monetizing. So last year I was ready to make a course. I was like, okay, I really want to start to help the masses. I do a lot of, you know, one-on-one and masterminds, and I still do that. However, I want to help more people. And so I thought about a course that I could put together, and I was like, well, what do I do it about? Like, I don't, you know, I know a lot of different things, but it's like, what do I build here? And what I saw was, is for the last 6 years, or since that 2013, right? So it's now 6 years. I have spoken up, right? Speak up. And my business has catapulted, like, completely different, you know, multi six figures. I get to do my events now because I have more confidence on stage. I get to be at other events like yours and, you know, and all these things. And I get to change people's lives in a much more powerful way. And so I was like, okay, I'm basically going to just tell everybody how I built my business. And so that's what I did. I put all of the details, every checklist, every spreadsheet, every how-to, every, you know, like, what does my speaker bag look like? You know, everything I could think of. And I probably did too much, but that's okay. I like to put, you know, like the whole kitchen sink in it, right? And because I think we make the decision, but then we get stuck in the how, and what do I say, and what do I talk about, and what do, you know, who's going to listen, and how do I find the gigs, and like all that stuff gets us stuck in moving forward. And so that's what I did. I put it all in a course, and it is from A to Z. It's literally setting your business up. Even in the beginning, I lay the foundation. I'm like, what are you selling? What is your marketing mix? What does that mean? Right? All of those things. I talk about overcoming fear and overcoming adversity. I talk about your brand stand. Like, what do you stand for? Because when you get grounded in who you are and why you're doing what you're doing, then you'll be a more confident speaker. You'll be more grounded and ready to share that to the world. And then I help you just start small. You don't have to, it's not like go out and talk to 500. I didn't go talk to 500 people in a room. That scared the heck out of me. So I started with 10, I started with 20, you know, and so whether you're doing that, have never done that, or you're doing it now, I want you to scale up. And so this course literally walks you from setting up your business model to getting the gigs, to what do I do after the gigs, to how do I close a sale, how do I transact a sale, to how do I speak on bigger stages and create workshops, and now that I've got the, you know, the kind of the training wheels off, and that's what I did, and I love it, and I love watching the results my clients get and the members of that program, because it changes their, it's one more brave thing they can do. It's number one, I call it the fastest path. Number one, remember back in 2013, I was like, oh crap, I have to pay the mortgage, right? We got to pay the bills. So I was looking for the fastest path to get people engaged. And when you talk in person, people get engaged faster. That's just kind of the rule, right? And you can have a 10, 20, 40, I'm up to like a 70% conversion in a room, depending on what I'm offering, right? And versus a 1-2% click through online. I include online strategies now, but if you're cash flow crunched, right, and you're needing more cash flow, and that's what I was like, I need $3,000 now. I need $5,000 now. I need those bigger dollars. I don't have time to wait for these online strategies to kick in, because they will over time. I just went after the where's the lowest hanging fruit? And if I could get in front of a room and I followed the system and the structure of a talk that would help people move to a decision, then I could convert a room so much faster and move people to a conversation that would move them into a relationship with me, and they would hire. And that's what I teach in the course. That's what I support my clients. And it's always looking at, where are you as a business owner? Because I believe that there's a vital pace to our business. And depending on where you are, and if you're in that launch or that hustle phase that I call it, where you're trying to get cash flow traction, then this is an amazing way to do that. Or if you're, you know, you're speaking, but you're not getting the monetization from it, then of course this is a way, you know, a great course for that too. So yeah, speaking is, it's just what I learned is that the relationship and the connection to people in a room when you're there in person is so much more powerful and quick, and you know, you can feel it in the moment, right? And when I did that, and I started to also work on my vulnerability and telling my story and being honest and real and raw about, you know, who I am, people could see me for who I am so much faster. And it's how I help people. It's like, I'm like, if I stand in a room and I can change one person's trajectory in their life or business, I've done my job. And that's why I do it. And it's so rewarding. Like, that's how I want to touch and feel and know that I'm making a difference. And when you're in person with people, you would get immediate feedback. It's great market research too, right? You're getting immediate feedback, and it just is super rewarding as well.
Well, I have links to the Brave Speaker Program, which is your complete training.
Yay!
In yes. The show notes for this, so you guys can go check it out. If this is something, if you know this is the next brave step for you in your business. Can't think of anyone better to learn from right now than Jenna.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Yes, I would welcome a conversation with any of your listeners just to say, hey, you know, I've been there. I know where you are. I know how to help you. And, you know, let's accelerate this. Let's make it easy, you know, and not so scary.
Oh, I love it. I love how you stepped up, you made bold changes, you took those risks, you continue to do so. And like, we have so much more in common than I realized, especially what I really appreciate about you is your spontaneity. Like, this packing up and moving out west is exactly the sort of thing I would do.
Except
not out west, but
got it.
so many people get this idea, they get a vision, a twinkle, but then ego steps in and says, okay, I need a 12-point plan and proof and all this. And I'm like, you know, all right, have fun. I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
And I love that's what's happening with you too. But still with great purpose and intention. It's not like you're just, you know, doing some weird spin the bottle. Yeah. You're very intentional about what you want to do for yourself and your family.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I probably did a little spin the bottle in the 20s. I was really trying to find myself back then. But no, there's an intentional approach. I'm a strategist, of course. I'm like, I got my to-do list. I got my, you know, I got it all figured out, but I didn't start there even with this trip. It's like, that's not the first step is go figure out everything and try to prepare for it. No, say yes and then figure it out, right? Say yes, get the ball rolling. And you know, what's amazing is when I started saying yes, and then we started saying yes out loud to people, to friends, to family, I got way more resources and support than ever, right? Than keeping it to myself. And so that's what's possible also is when you say yes, the answers and the resources and the how will show up as long as you're in a space of allowance, right? And not shutting that off as well because you're afraid to talk about it or you're afraid to own it or you're afraid to even consider it. And so there's so much like internal work, but you're right. The ego is always going to try to keep us safe, keep us comfortable, keep us in the same place. Do not change. Do not move. Do not, you know, I'm fine. Why would I change this? Right. And that's not growth. That's not potential. I'm all about eradicating unrealized human potential. And so if we can just take one brave step for humankind, then, you know, right in the right direction of your dreams and your visions, then yeah, just say yes. And I'll help you figure it out. I'll be happy to. So
the bravest step that I took recently was in launching Mindset Notes.
Yes, you did. Yes.
And I was, you know, who I was most afraid of to show it to was my best friend, Nicole.
Yeah.
I showed it to, first the idea bubbled up in some brainstorming and I started to work on a sales page because that's how I decide. Is if I love how it's marketed.
How yeah, got it.
and, you know, was getting all this good feedback, but I didn't want to show Nicole yet. And I even, I joined James Schramko's coaching program.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed it to James and he came back with, you know, wow, what a great project. You know, so he calls it a good for humans project.
Yes, right.
And I was still the person I was most shaky about was showing it to Nicole because I respect her so much and she will be ruthlessly honest with me.
She's also like your closest circle of influence, right?
Yeah.
Like our circles are like 1 degree, 2 degrees, 6 degrees, right? And it's yeah. like the ones on the peripheral are like, oh, I can tell you because we're not emotionally as invested. But when yep. we get closer to the emotional degrees,
yeah.
I think that's what goes on for us, you know, because it totally happened for me that way. I was like, oh, how do I tell my mom?
you
know, like, right? These people that are high, like we care, we respect, we love, we want them to support us so much. And yeah, we have the most risk per se.
Here's the risk is that I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
For sure.
And I'm gathering feedback, measuring how I feel in reaction to mm-hmm. their reactions. Like I'm feeling like, oh, yep, you've got a great point. That's confusing. I can fix that versus you don't get it. And that's okay.
Right.
But of all those people, if Nicole had looked at it, I was like, I wanted yes, no, or huh?
right.
And I could live with her yes, I could live with her no, but if she went, huh, then I would have a tougher time moving forward.
Yeah.
And so I was...
The doubts come in, right?
Yeah, I had the butterflies in my stomach when I was showing it to her.
Aw.
But thank goodness she said yes.
Thank goodness, right? Support.
Yeah. But man, what if she had said, oh no, I don't think this will work, Cal, or huh, I don't get it. You know, I think I was in so far that I would still be doing it, but boy, would it
would have hurt a little, right? Sting a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those. I had one super close, like matters to me most person about the California, and I did not get their support. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, this is ripping my heart out. And we've healed, and it was a process, and we're still doing it because I made a family decision. And I get it. Like I get her fears, I get her worries, and I get where it's coming from. And it just still stung, right? It was like,
yeah.
wow, I just really want you to love me right now. but we're loving each other regardless. And
yes.
I think it just builds our relationship even more because we get to work through this thing that, you know, we aren't always going to agree with everyone. And they have their own fears, right, that pop
yeah.
up when we make those communications or their own doubts or whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we have to stay strong. We have to stay grounded in what we have decided. I think it goes back to that. Committing to the decision is also committing in the face of people not agreeing. Committing,
yes.
you know, in the face your family has something, you know, to say about it or, you know, all that. It's crazy, but it's amazing if you can stay in the brave way, you know.
There's a phase in our lives. There's
yeah.
a phase in all projects where we really need to submit ourselves to some feedback and check and double check.
Yeah, checks and balances.
Yeah, because we're not experienced enough. We don't know enough about the situation. And sometimes when I'm doing something new, I'm just going to trust that the feedback is going to guide me. But
right.
But with all of us, and especially with where you're at in your life and in your business, as mature as it is, and as sound as you have become in your own judgments about it, there's just a time when, like, it really doesn't matter who's gonna come along and say no. You're driving this ship, you know.
Yeah, and I think that comes to how I have personally grown is in the personal ownership of it, you know, I'm responsible for it. So I'm responsible for my choice. So even if I get the feedback, even if I take the risk, even if, like, wow, you shouldn't do this, and because of all these these reasons, you know, I am, like I said, strategic and thoughtful and intentional, and, like, I want all that. I want to look at all of it. I do want information, right? So it's good to get information. And then ultimately, we just have to make our choices, but ultimately be responsible for those choices. And if we live from that place, then, you know, there's risks that don't work, and then there's risks that have huge rewards, and we just don't know what those rewards are until we take the risk.
Yeah.
And so I think it is a confident, it's like a muscle, it's just a practice, and it's a getting more confident in our choice and our decision making, as well as, like, trusting our gut and following it in faith. I have a hashtag now called gut and faith because I'm like, the more I actually follow my gut and have faith in it, and it doesn't mean I haven't done my due diligence, mm-hmm. the more I actually get from it, right? Like, it works more. So
I could talk to you forever. To wrap up, is to just, I just want to turn to the listeners for just a moment and say, you know, if you're surrounded by people who don't support your big daring dreams, get someone on your side who does. You know, that's where, like, Jenna, you are such a powerful, positive presence in the lives of your clients, because I imagine there are a lot of them who do have people around them who just don't want them to rock the boat, don't want them to stretch out of this comfortable place they're in.
Right.
But you're that voice, that person who's taking a stand for them, that they can do it.
They can do it and they'll be okay. And I'm here to, I always say, jump into the deep end. I'm your life jacket. I'm right there with you. You're not going to sink. You're not going to float under, right? So yeah, I love being that for people.
Awesome. Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you. I love this conversation. Thanks for having me. And I'm here to help people. And thanks for sharing my course. That's really generous of you. And just, yeah, if I can help anyone or talk to anyone on your listenership, that, you know, just to get them past their own, kind of get them out of their own way, I would certainly welcome that opportunity. So thanks for having me.
Hey, yo, you're back with Kelly, wrapping up this episode number 22 of Love People and Make Money. I said at the very beginning, fair warning, you're probably going to want to do something brave soon. I bet it's already happening. Man, it was a great, great conversation with Jenna. I feel totally jazzed for my day, and I know you are too. So thanks for spending this time with us. Come on back to the website, lovepeoplemakemoney.com. Look for Jenna's smiling face and find the links to her Brave Speaker program and everything else that she has going on over at bravemasters.com. See you next time. Bye, y'all.